We've come to a time where we have the opportunity to gather as a people of faith and get a chance to hear an interpretation of Scripture. Get the opportunity to sit down and listen to the Word as it comes from this text, as well as the words we're going to hear on the screen in just a minute. But I wanted to share Isaiah's passage first before we move right into the light that is Clark W. Griswold. So, all right. This is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. 1 through 9. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the later time he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder, for the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian, for all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from the time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The Lord sent a word against Jacob, and it fell on Israel, and all the people knew it. Thus ends the reading of the Lord. Now let's hear the words of Clark W. Griswold.
We're going to have the best looking house in town, Russ.
I've always wanted to do this.
It's a lot of lights, Dad.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's a lot of work, too. But if I'm out in the cold and I'm committed to decorating the house, I'm going to do it right. And I'm gonna do it big. You want something you can be proud of, don't you?
Yeah, I guess so.
Sure you do.
Think you might be overdoing it, Dad?
Russ, when was the last time I overdid anything? Come on, unravel these. You have to check every bulb. Oops, got a little knot here. Work on that. I'll get the other box.
250 strands of light, 100 individual bulbs per strand for a grand total of 25,000 imported Italian twinkle lights.
Hey!
25,000.
Well, I hope nobody I know drives by and sees me standing in the yard staring at the house in my pajamas.
If they know your dad, they won't think anything of it.
Fire it up, Dad!
I dedicate this house to the Griswold family Christmas.
Oh.
Drum roll, please. Drum roll.
Baby, I can picture it in my mind, and it's breathtaking.
Thanks, Mom.
It's probably a bad bulb, son. You know, if one goes out, the whole thing doesn't work. Now, if I were you, I'd personally check each one.
I did that, Dad. I can't.
Well, look, if you need any help, give me a holler. I'll be upstairs asleep.
Sorry, Daddy. It looks good even if they're not lit.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Well, Dad, it was a good try.
Thanks, Russ. Russ?
Yeah.
We checked every bowl, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure of it.
Thought so. Maybe we ought to go up there and just get...
Oh, whoa, jeez, look at the time. I gotta get to bed. Brush my teeth, feed the hog, still got some homework to do.
This ought to do it.
Yelling about?
What the? What's going on here?
25,000 twinkle lights. What's he doing, Mark?
I haven't the foggiest.
Find ourselves, how many of you have seen this movie or any of the vacation movies? So we know a little bit about Clark W. Griswold. I tell you what, go back to the first movie, Vacation. The perfect trip, right? Had to be the perfect trip. He did everything in his power to make sure that it was just right. Added little things to the trip along the way. They were heading to California. They were going to the infamous Wally World. That's right. And he added little trips in the way. They said, we're going to stop by the Grand Canyon. We're going to make Ellen, my wife, happy. We're going to go see Cousin Eddie, all right? And then along the way, to make Cousin Eddie happy, Aunt Edna comes along. Doesn't turn out very good for Aunt Edna. But it did not stop Clark W. Griswold. They were going to Wally World. And going to Wally World they did, regardless of if Miss Edna passed away on the journey, they were going to make it. And then, to our surprise, they get to Wally World, and it was closed. But that wasn't stopping Clark. Clark was going to be bound and determined that it was going to happen. And so he made sure that it did in his own special way. See the movie if you want to know. That brings us to the third movie, which is Christmas Vacation. Clark continues. Everything in Clark's power is going to make this the absolute best Griswold family Christmas ever. He was going to make sure that everything was perfect. Just right. No matter what happened, he would see himself through. Very beginning of the movie, they had to go pick the absolute best tree. They did. They trekked out into the middle of the woods, and there it was. Sun was shining down on their tree, regardless of if it was 25 feet or not. Okay, they cut it down without a saw and made their way back home. And then it tore up their house. But it's okay. It did not stop Clark W. Griswold. Family members, both sides were going to come together in this house. They were going to see this beautiful sight that was the House of Lights. 25,000 Italian twinkly bulbs. That's what he did. Even though it didn't work quite the way he had planned, it finally worked. Because he was able to make it happen. He was proven, bound and determined that it was going to happen. That was Clark W. Griswold. He was even going to take a bonus check that he was going to get from his job, and he was going to buy the family a pool. Because it wasn't about him, it was about his family and making sure they got the best. That they got the best. That's who Clark W. Griswold is. Let me ask you this. Are we very far from being Clark W. Griswold? Isn't it at this time where we say, well, I got to put my decorations out, and they got to be pretty. And I've got to put that really nice tree up, and it's got to be nice. And I got to go to all these family parties because it's got to be perfect. I've got to go see my family. I got to go see her family. I got to go see our friend's family. I got to go to church. During Christmas season, we have a tendency of doing the Clark W. Griswold. We want it to be perfect. The decorations, the parties, the family get-togethers, we want to control what happens throughout Christmas. Really, it's not a problem. I mean, we come to church, we talk about this. We say, you know what? It's about others. We're supposed to care for others. It's about family. It's about getting together. It's about, we preach about benevolence. We preach about doing nice things for others. It's not a me kind of world. So there's nothing wrong with that. We think it's important to take time and spend time with our family and our friends. It's nothing new. The church has ingrained this in us from the beginning. The church is telling us these are the ways in which we're supposed to live our lives. We have certain rituals and certain sacraments that we partake of. Because it's what we're supposed to do the right thing, to be perfect, to be the best Christians we can be. Some take it a little bit further, especially than the disciples, and they decide that we need to have more sacraments. We need to have more rituals. And so churches are diverse. They kind of tell us different ways in which they live. We have to understand the church also helped to develop this. Helped to give us the stories, how we read them, what we think of them, what we believe about them. The church has given us these things. It's given us the stories as they exist. We've taken responsibility and we've made it our duty, and it's our right to make things to be just so, to be perfect, to be just like Clark W. Griswold. To make things perfect. But we have to go back to the scripture we read today. The church has a tendency of reading, especially 6 and 7. I know we've all heard that before. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We hear that. It echoes in churches around the world during the Advent season. And they take it from this Isaiah passage. Isaiah was a prophet who lived 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And they look at it and they say, look, we have proof. Isaiah 700 years ago said that this child was going to be born. This child was going to be a wonderful counselor, magnificent individual that's going to save us, our Savior, our Messiah. The church tells us that that's what we're talking about. Let's look at it in context. Isaiah was speaking of a very true issue that was going on in his land in Judah. And it's something that we cannot overlook as a church and say and belittle and say that Isaiah was looking 700 years in the future, was not paying any attention to what was going on in Judah at that time. There was a battle, a war, separation from Israel and Judah. The king of Judah was the one Isaiah was speaking to, saying, look, don't try to be political here. Don't try to get rid of your enemy by talking to an even larger, more powerful enemy. And I don't need to get into all that. But the truth be told, that's what he was doing, political moves. And Isaiah was saying, wait, wait. We are here because God has brought us here. We must be patient. Don't force it. Don't try to control the situation. King Ahaz, the one we're speaking of, forced the situation. And luckily, God intervened and brought forth a new king of Judah, Hezekiah, who most believe Isaiah was referring to when he was speaking in this verse. Because then the Assyrians, who was that evil empire, were taken care of. The church has manipulated the story. 700 years later, actually 1,000 years later, when they finally convened to discuss that story, to say this predicts and gives us an idea that Jesus is just who Jesus was. They're trying to control the story, control what we understand about the story. That's what the church does. That's what we do. That's what we all do. We have a tendency of wanting to control what happens to things. Control. And it makes us fall into what we believe. We have to prove it. We have to prove what we believe and why we believe it. And the church's way of doing that is proving Isaiah spoke of it 700 years before Jesus was born. Trying to prove it. But I ask you this. Are we asked to prove our belief in something? Are we simply asked to have faith in it? We're asked to have faith. The church is manipulating the story, trying to give us some type of oomph. But truth be told, we simply need to have faith that it exists. Let's really look at what Isaiah was saying. Let's look at what Isaiah was telling us. Isaiah's message was consistent. When you're looking at the true 8th century prophet, what he was telling, especially Ahaz at the time, be patient. Trust in the Lord. Don't try to force things to happen. Don't try to make them happen. Isaiah's message was about faithfulness, not about controlling the situation. It was about awaiting the gift that was coming. The Lord was bringing it. You don't have to try to force it. All right? The child will come, regardless of who the child was. The child's going to come because God is going to give us the child. Important that we understand that. But the church has taught us to control. Society tells us we need to be in control of what we do, how we do things. We're supposed to have these wonderful, miraculous gifts that so our children will be happy. We're supposed to have these awesome parties so that everybody can be happy. We need to be in control of the situation. Isaiah's not speaking of that. So what we need to do is forget the useless attempts to control the message and just allow the message to come. Because I promise you, it's not because the church has embedded this message in us for 2,000 years is why it exists. It exists because God has embedded it in us, not somebody forcing control over it. So the message is going to come. The Spirit is going to come. The Spirit will be here, regardless if we try to make it happen or not. There's a really interesting comparison. I teach world religions, and one of the things that really brings forth this kind of concept of kind of waiting for that power to come, that Spirit to take hold and to just be a part of us, and us wait and be patient for it. And it's a term they use in Taoism called Wu Wei. And what it is, the term, I always have to explain it to my kids, and I'll explain it to you, but it is actionless action. In Taoism, they believe that everything exists. Energy exists in all of us, in everything. The power, the flow of energy is constantly moving through us. If you want to look at it as spirit, you can, because it is spirit. It is moving through us. And the goal is not to interfere with that energy. The Taoist perspective believes that we are to grab hold of that energy and follow along with it, move with it. We can continue to live our lives, but as long as we are in the groove and in the flow of that energy, that's where we need to go. It's really important in Wu Wei that you follow it. And one of the best examples is, who's been to the Grand Canyon? Who's been to the Grand Canyon? The formation of the Grand Canyon was not from a monumental gravity pulling kind of thing where this thing appeared. It's because of a simple Colorado River, moving water, energy flow. Very small, insignificant flow of water created something so grand, so beautiful, so magnificent. It just took a little time. You got to be patient. We don't force it. Now, I'm not saying don't go out and decorate your houses. Don't give gifts to people because it's ridiculous. That's not the case. When you do it in response to feeling the Spirit. The Spirit will move you to do those things. Don't force it to happen. Don't say, I got to be the first one to have it up. Okay? Don't be the Clark W. Griswold said, I got to make this happen. And it's going to be the best no matter what happens. Say, it's going to happen. Because God, in God's time, will make it happen. Just as Isaiah was speaking to the King Ahaz. Look, wait, don't do this. Almost got him into some serious trouble. Okay? But God intervened. Because God knew that it was going to happen. So it's really important, you know, that we not see ourselves as the creators of Christmas, but as the receivers of the Spirit that comes this time of year. I've only been on the earth 39 years, but I've experienced it 39 times, pretty consistent. All right, and it's not because somebody forced it. It's because the Spirit moves us at this time. It is preparing us, getting us ready for Christmas. Isaiah's message is real. The church's interpretation of Isaiah's message is real. Our belief in Christmas is real. We should not attempt to pull a Clark W. Griswold and force it. It's going to happen. We should simply rely on our faith and belief that God will organically encourage and elevate our hopes and spirits this holiday season. Because it's going to happen. And when we allow the Spirit to move, the light of the world will shine and we will all experience hope, peace, love, and joy. So we need to just remove the illogical reins that we think we have on it and enjoy the gift that has been given to us. It is our time to open our eyes and see it.